Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome to the Windy City Podcast. You see Alex Shapiro right there. I am Kenneth Davis, of course. This is presented by FanSided. We are going to preview the Bears game against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are coming to the city, the lakefront, unfortunately, and the wind chill may be below, at least to maybe perhaps 15 degrees. Both of these teams have played in colder weather. Cleveland can't get cold in the wintertime, so it's not like Tua and the Miami Dolphins are coming up here. But it'll be interesting to see. And of course, you know, you have a team in the Bears that are the second best run team in the NFL. You have the Browns that are one of the best run defenses. They've only allowed 200 yard runners. And that was Derrick Henry. And last week, Tony Pollard with the Tennessee Titans, I believe, rushed for like 167 or something around that. So they're right to a degree when you're talking about a Bears team to have two runners that can get the job done, and DeAndre Swift in the class, and of course, rookie Kyle Manungai. Perhaps the win could be similar to the game in Cleveland where the ball may not be in the air as much. We will see. You have rookie Shedeur Sanders coming off a game where statistically he had a pretty good game. I believe he had four TDs and an interception. One of the touchdowns was a rushing TD. And again, we talked about this on our last episode where Kevin Stefanski pulled his ass out and put in Quinshon Judkins to run Wildcat at the end of the game for a two-point conversion, and tomfoolery took place. So, Alex, your thoughts on the Browns coming to Chicago? People have been saying this is a trap game. I don't feel like it's a trap game. I don't think the Bears have been playing to their opponent's level like they have in the past.
Yeah.
And also, they lost last week. So I think if there was any fear of there being a trap game, losing to Green Bay in such a tightly contested game against a heated rival, you want to dispense some pain on somebody else. And unfortunately for Cleveland, they're the first team the Bears are going to face after losing, and after not losing with the last four or five games. They haven't had a loss since the Ravens lost. So your thoughts on Cleveland coming to the city?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a trap game. I also agree that the Packers loss erased all of that. This is also a team that understands exactly what's in front of them. And I think Ben Johnson has so far in his short tenure done a good job with his messaging with those players about getting them, you know, part of the program, getting them pulling the same rope, all of that stuff. So I am not worried about a lack of focus just because it is not the Green Bay Packers. It is not the Philadelphia Eagles that you're playing. It's a team that's banged up, or not banged up. It's a team that is kind of looking for their quarterback, a team that has not been good this season. I don't have any fears of that. But the matchup that scares me the most, if I'm the Chicago Bears, is something we talked about last week that didn't mention off the top. That is Myles Garrett chasing history. This is the best defensive player in the league who is looking to set a sack record this season. And what a challenge that is going to be for Ozzie Trapillo. Darnell Wright has been phenomenal. So, you know, it'll be a good measuring stick for Darnell Wright. Hey, how are you against the literal best in the league? And these guys aren't going to be on islands against Myles Garrett. They should have plenty of help. They should have chippers. They should have two chippers on Myles Garrett at all times. You know, that is how disruptive he can be. But even with all that attention, the dude still finds a way or creates for his other teammates. So my question is, Caleb Williams and the Bears offensive line have done a good job of reducing sacks. Caleb Williams has done better at throwing the ball away when absolutely necessary. Obviously, the underhand throw fumble into the end zone that gets covered up for a touchdown, you know, like that, that's about as bad as it can get in terms of a disastrous scenario based on a pass rush. But this is a really unique challenge. And the Bears are going to have to avoid those types of disasters. They're going to have a game plan to limit Myles Garrett and that Browns defensive line's impact on this game. Obviously, you don't want to be that footnote. You don't want to be that footnote in history as the team where Myles Garrett got the record.
I was coming home from GN last night, and shout out to them for having me on GN Sports. But the reason I bring it up is really because I was listening to 670 The Score. And I forget the young man that does the evening show, but he's out of, I believe, Green Bay or Milwaukee, perhaps. Really good show, too. But he had on Ross Tucker, former offensive lineman, the reason why I bring it up. And to something that you were just pointing out when you're talking about Myles Garrett, he was talking, he asked him about Russ Tucker. He asked him as far as your thoughts on Ozzie Cipolla. And one of the things he pointed out, and again, we're not former NFL players, but some of it you kind of know, but it's good to hear from someone who can really get through the minutia and point several things out to you. But one thing that Ben Johnson hasn't been doing with, for instance, in the game with all of his offensive linemen, but you look at Jonah Jackson in the down years he had playing for the Rams, and then you look at Ozzie Cipolla not necessarily being young and being a guy that they didn't necessarily leave at left because he wasn't adjusting as fast as they had hoped he could be. Not that expectations were higher anyway when you're talking about a second round left tackle rookie coming in, but we see from the bootlegs and the scheme, they're not just doing straight dropbacks in the first place to be as susceptible. Now, in saying that, that's still Myles Garrett, to point that you are making. That's still a phenomenal generational defensive end, to say the least. And yes, they're going to have to deal with it. And you pointed this out too. I think the biggest thing, I have so much of a fear about this game, even if the records were the same, if this was the pass, because the Bears offensive line would have been much more susceptible to being blown up.
Yeah.
But the coaching from Dan Rocher and Ben Johnson, the scheme, but also the quality of the veterans that they brought in, and Darnell Wright, who still hasn't, when he's playing these Hall of Fame players, been able to semi-nullify them. And we've talked about that ad nauseum on our show or whatever, but he's still a really good right tackle, and he's growing. I do think he'll get a sack, perhaps. I said this to you. I don't think he's going to break. He's not. I can't see. I don't have a crystal ball, but I can't see him going for three. Like, it has.
What did he have in the Justin Fields game? I'm going to look that up. Well, you're.
Yeah, how many did? Did they have four? Did they have six? Did they have four or six? I thought
they had like eight, man.
They had
eight.
So anybody else that remember, wasn't that the second game of the season where
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was early in the season, and Andy Dalton had been prepared. The scheme was fit for Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton had gotten injured, and they were forced to put Justin in, and calamity ensued. And this is when Justin Fields realized he would have to run 4,000 yards the next season.
Yeah, that was malpractice on Matt Nagy's part. So, yeah, the second game of the season, the Bears played the Bengals. That's where Dalton got hurt, and Fields came in the, like, second quarter or something and finished that game. And then it was like, okay, Dalton's going to be out for a while. So they knew Fields was going to be the starter.
Right.
And they just had an Andy Dalton game plan from the jump for Justin Fields. And it's like, what is this? This is not a Justin Fields offense. This is an Andy Dalton offense. And it was one of the worst offensive performances I have ever seen in my life. The final score was 26-6. Justin Fields completed 6 of 20 attempts. I undersold it. He was sacked 9 times.
Wow.
He was sacked 9 times. Myles Garrett had 4.5 sacks. How do you let that happen? Just have 5 guys block Myles Garrett. Let anybody else get a sack. So, again, that was like coaching malpractice. So when you say he'll get one, I don't know if he'll get two. That wasn't even 5 years ago, man. He got
4.5 sacks against the Bears.
But think about that offensive line that they had.
No, I know, right? It's different.
Yeah, like you were they were that line was bad from the rooter to the tutor, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, so that again, now you have a Hall of Famer in Joe Thuney. You have Drew Dawson, who, if he keeps playing well, perhaps. You have Jonah Jackson, who has been one of the better guards at times and has seemed to have gotten back to that standard as he was as a Detroit Lion. So that, again, I'm not saying, look, he's a Hall of Famer, speaking of Myles Garrett. So it could happen. I just don't think this line is susceptible to it happening. There would be a good, do you want to bet something on it happening? Because I don't want to lose any money.
Make a little wager?
But I mean, it would, I think it's good for the listeners.
I don't think he's going to get it either, to be honest.
Okay.
But maybe we can come up with something. I'm trying to find the Bears offensive line from that game because it was probably ridiculous.
You had to have what? Was Sam Mustipher? That was Sam Mustipher's. Was Sam Mustipher hurt or was he moved to center? I think he may have.
I don't know.
I don't know if he was hurt. I mean, because.
Here we go. Bears starters. Are you ready for this? It was Sam Mustipher. Very good.
Yeah.
Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, he was out because he was out at the beginning of the year. You had Larry Borum. You had Larry Borum out there, right?
Borum wasn't Larry out there? Borum. It was one Jermaine Effetti.
Ooh.
Oh, I just closed it by accident. I think I can remember it. So it was Cody Whitehair, Sam Mustipher, James Daniels in the middle, Jermaine Effetti. At the right side, and then left tackle. Do you remember who they called up? He was fishing. And then Juan Castillo called him up, and he said, Jason, I need you. And he said, Juan, I got you. Old man Jason Peters.
Yeah.
Jason Peters, who was fishing and wishes he never picked up his phone that day.
Wow. And look how times are different.
Yeah.
Like, look at that mess they threw out there. And look how times are different. I mean, I don't even really want to revisit and go over some of the things that we were upset with back then, let alone drafting Tevin Jenkins and get rid of serviceable. I know everyone disliked him, but a serviceable tackle. We all thought, all right, Tevin's going to play right. And then you're going to move him to left the year after, at least after you see what he could do at right. And it's like, no, we're going to draft this right tackle. And we're going to force him into left and get rid of our left tackle, who everybody was upset with, but went on to still have some success with the Commanders.
Who, by the way, is he's a Brown. This is going to be a Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, they put him in there like last week, I believe. He got out there because their guard got hurt or something like that.
Yes, he's appeared in all 13 games, but only started one.
Okay. I wonder if he's appearing appearing on special teams?
Special teams.
Okay, that's what I was about to say.
Well, he has 100, so I'm looking it up just because I'm curious. 146 snaps on offense this year, only 42 special team snaps.
Listen, still wish him the best. Wish he was healthy here. And wish he had kept what we initially saw him tossing guys out of the club as far as blocking guys into the sideline. And it just both of those guys, him and Borum, that regressed. And now I think that was on the coaching staff. And I know we did know too initially that there was some maturity issues with Tevin, even coming from OK State. There were some maturity issues or whatever with him not taking advantage of his tangibles as far as his physicality or whatever.
Yeah. So Tevin Jenkins revenge game loading.
Okay. Who cares? Listen, he's good. Guess what? With this four down lineman, he's got the revenge already. Right? Like, oh, wait, wouldn't it be out? It wouldn't even be good. Cause again, we were a Tevin Jenkins positive show.
Yes.
It wouldn't even be good though. If he's the reason that they're giving up sacks, like I would kind of, it wouldn't, I mean, I need sacks, you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't enjoy the fact that he was getting exploited if, you know, Jervon Dexter or Grady Jarrett or Billings are able to take advantage of him or whatever. But again, I guess so. But regardless, you got them protecting a young quarterback who could give the ball up because one of his best attributes is throwing the ball. And you got the Bears being one of the most advantageous turnover teams defensively in defensive backfield. So definitely we'll see. I'll be interested on when, if possible, Tremaine Edmonds will be able to come back with now we're getting closer and closer to the end of the season. I'm not saying something like, oh, Ken, that's some mastery that you're talking, but you know how much the Bears would benefit run-wise and pass-wise with having such a tall weak side linebacker now being out there to perhaps tip some balls or intercept them. So it'd be interesting to see how this goes, but I have the Bears winning, and we'll give you our scores, I guess, towards the end of the show.
Sure.
What else is sticking out to you as far as the things that you're interested in viewing this weekend, Bears side or Brown side?
So I think you also nailed it. It is how do the Bears deal with Myles Garrett with a young, inexperienced Ozzie Tripillo? And it is how do they run the football against a very good Browns defense? Last week, all season long, really, it has become clear that this team's identity is running the football and then doing play action off of that. Whether it's play action under center, whether it's play action in the shotgun, whether it's running in the shotgun or running under center, the end arounds, whatever, what have you. Moving the ball on the ground is the engine for this offense. So against one of the best in the league, how do you make sure that you're still able to succeed, that you're still able to get 4-5 yards on the ground on first down? Or if you're not able to do that, how do you adapt? How do you respond? Because sometimes the adaptation, the response hasn't been great. It's been off and on, right? There are times where second half of last week, they are like Caleb Williams is slicing and dicing. He's dialed in. He's making the throws. He's making the reads. He's doing it. And then there are other times where the Bears have not had as much success running the football, and Caleb has looked out of sync. The passing game has looked out of sync. There have been, you know, he's throwing the ball to a place in space and a player sits down, or he just leads it just a few feet beyond that player's grasp, where the sinking of the rhythm of the offense, even though he's making the throw to space, he's making the throw with anticipation, he's off. Mm-hmm. They're just off. So that will be interesting. A, can they run? Can they run the ball against this very good defensive line? And if they can't, can they come up with something else that can get this offense going?
Yeah. I mean, I like the way that you put that. I still think the running game will be decent. The worst case scenario, the running game will be decent. I guess I should say it like that. I should word it in that way. It'd be interesting, too, with the foot with Rome. And I mean, I know there's a slight chance, but if there's a fracture in that foot, I mean, this is a young player that you're talking about. And the last thing you want to do is create something that is an issue moving forward. So I'd be really timid with rushing him back, regardless of what the situation is right now. I know it's, you know, the Bears, you definitely want to still make it to the playoffs, but you still, your guy that's been your number one receiver in year two, you want to make sure that you take care of him, because if one of his wheels is broken, that could be that's something that we always talk about. Remember how he was prior to we're here, foot fracture. So
yeah. We have some breaking news, actually.
Okay.
Run with it. 3 minutes ago, the Bears injury report for today, we're recording this Thursday afternoon, just came out. Roma Dunze practiced and he was limited. Now, Wednesday was a walkthrough. They had him listed as limited, but it's a walkthrough, so it's like an estimation. But Thursday, they actually practiced, and he was limited. So does that make you feel better at all, Kenneth, that he got on the field and had a limited practice?
Well, I thought he would get on the field. And again, you may just put him on a snap count. But again, like I said, you have to be timid. And again, I don't know the severity of what he has. It could be something that, you know, can't get so much worse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and I'm not a foot doctor. I'm not, you know, Dr. James Andrews, you know, as far as any type of injuries on any extremities. But we'll see. I mean, it helps them. I mean, you saw last week that I do believe that that game last week would have been their game if he was able to stretch the field. You know what I'm saying? And some of the things that he could do across the middle, particularly the deep middle. So I you know what he could do. And also we talked about getting DJ Moore the ball. And I think, again, you have to put an emphasis on it, but I think he'll get the he it's more chances for DJ if Rome is out there, because, you know, one, we got to slow down Rome before we have to do anything with DJ, even if the Bears haven't necessarily accentuated DJ as far as getting him the ball as much as they should.
Right. For context for our listeners, Rome ahead of the Packers game was DNP, DNP, DNP. So he did not participate in practice at all before Packers week, before he was ruled out, and now limited in walkthrough, limited in real practice. It is certainly a trend in the right direction. It does not mean he will play, right? It does not mean he will play. We'll see what his game designation is after Friday, and we'll have more information there. But it is certainly trending in the right direction for him.
And we still and Kyler Gordon is still out, isn't he? I believe I was reading the paper where they were like, they don't know necessarily when he may be available.
Kyler Gordon, DNP. So again, yeah. DNP estimation on Wednesday, DNP on Thursday. So that is trending in the wrong direction.
I don't mean to laugh like it's good, but how you said it. Any other players that stick out to you as far as on the injury report?
Yes. So not necessarily the injury report of it all, but you will see his name on the injury report. And this is a guy I'm definitely going to have eyes on. Jalen Johnson, who now with 2.5 games under his belt, does he look more like Jalen Johnson? And I think this is something that I'm going to be tracking for the rest of the season. Can Jalen Johnson get back on the same page with his guys? You know, a lot was made of that Tom Brady comment, Tom Brady breaking down that one play where he's like, dude, you've got to fill the space that Kevin Byard vacated. How much of that is rust? How much of that is it being on the grass really for the first time in Dennis Allen's defense and getting all of that down? So as he continues to work back towards being Jalen Johnson, like by week 17, by week 18, is he going to be all pro Jalen Johnson by then? So definitely want to see like him locking dudes down. I mean, like sorry. It's the Browns. It's not necessarily Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. So
you got Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Judy's still in the league.
Yeah. He's
that was a joke.
I know.
Yeah. So are we going to see Jalen Johnson play up to his capability, which I believe is the best player on this defense when he is fully healthy? Can he do something to be like, yes, I'm the best player on this defense, and just be like firing on all cylinders?
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
All right, you wanted to talk about the Bears' playoff odds before we get up out of here?
Yeah, you know, like I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this, and maybe we could talk about it a little bit, and I think it ties in with that Jalen Johnson conversation. So it's really interesting. There's 4 games left. I was messing around with the NFL playoff machine on ESPN, the tool that they have where you plug in results for the remaining season, and it tells you what the seeds are. It's really cool. And obviously, with 4 games to go, it's just like there are too many variables. There's a lot that can happen. But I think it's an interesting point with 4 games to go to talk about it, because there is a path still with 4 games to go, because obviously that's a ton of football. There's still a path for the Bears to get the number 1 overall seed in the NFC. They need some help, obviously, but if they win out, they get some help, they can leap all the way back to number one. If things don't go their way, they could miss the playoffs entirely. Even if they go 2-2, I was messing around. There's a world in which even if they go 2-2, and I forget the exact permutation, but I think it's like if they beat the Browns and they beat the Niners, if they lose to the Packers and lose to the Lions, and maybe there are some scenarios where they lose to the Niners because the Niners are very much in that wild card picture. Yeah, they're very much in that wild card picture. There are permutations where if the Bears go 2-2, they might still miss the playoffs.
Yeah, so those division games, particularly the first two at the beginning of the season. But if you're talking about that, you split with the Vikings, and as of right now, you've lost to the Lions one game and lost with the Packers one game, and so you only have one divisional victory. I we'll talk about the Lions game when we get there. That lets you know how I feel about it. If you're listening to this, I winked my eye.
Are you feeling it's going to be more of a Bears versus Kitties situation, as you like to call it?
I will not call it. Look, they are not the Kitties. Like, I'm not going to even disrespect them like that. They have been playing well for several seasons now. I'm not going to kitty them. You know, like, it's proven. The
Kitties is retired.
No, for now. We will get back to the Kitties, but right now, you know, let's put some respect on them this season, and then next year, if there's terrible regression, then we're kiddying it up, all right? But right now, they're not the Kitties. But I do think when you look at the fact that they're not the same team as they were initially when Dan Campbell took over the offense. There have been some good and some bad with him taking over the offense, particularly with making sure that Jahmyr Gibbs would get out there. I can't remember who they were playing the game before last, and they stopped Jahmyr Gibbs, or maybe the last game, and David Montgomery had a really good game that game.
Yeah.
But still, I think the Bears, they can get them. I think they can play well enough to be able to play up against the Lions. Perhaps the fact that the down four linemen could cost them, we'll see. And we know that they've been having some problems when they tried to have Ragnow come back, but he couldn't pass the physical. So there's some things in the even though our defensive line, I know I keep taking shots, but hasn't been able to pressure anybody. So, but again, I'm interested to see. I think they'll win that game. Okay, that was what the wink was about again. But I think they should make the playoffs. But that's true. I mean, and I'll say this though, then that loss in Green Bay means a hell of a lot more in our.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Right? Because
it was there for you. It would be worse if they kicked your ass compared to you were right there with the ability to score and win the game if you converted to.
When they controlled their own destiny.
That part, full control of their destiny. You were in full control, and it's a growing thing. But that part, we'll definitely talk about that. But yeah, it's interesting to say, at least, what do you think? Do you think they'll be able to make it into the playoffs?
I have no idea. I think it's actually going to be a lot harder than a lot of people in Chicago think. Just because, okay, take the Browns out of the equation. You need two wins. You pretty much need two wins.
So are you saying they need three wins or they need, because you said take the Browns out. So are you saying,
you got to find at least, I'm assuming the Bears beat the Browns. Okay. If the Bears don't beat the Browns, they're in a heck of a lot of trouble.
True.
Let's assume the Bears beat the Browns. Now you have to get at least one win against the Lions, at home, which helps. The Packers at home helps. And the 49ers, that one's away.
Mm-hmm.
None of those teams are slouches. All of those teams know how to beat the Bears. If you want to feel really, really good, you need three wins. You need three wins, and they're feeling really, really good because even two wins, like we said, even two wins, the Bears will need some help. Three wins against the Browns, the Niners, the Packers, the Lions. I think that's a tough task.
I hear you, but this team has shown that they can accomplish that. And again, for anybody who hasn't watched this in the past, he would be the guy that would be giving the better vibes than me. And speaking of the past, I want to shout out Mark, who said that he transitioned and watched us in the past and watched us now. So I'm in the grocery store. Shout out, Mark. We appreciate you for watching us and supporting. But I think it can happen. But let me ask you this, and maybe you can't remember because it's not in front of you. If they lost to the Browns, which I don't think they will, but okay. beat the division rivals, right? Sure. And I guess then they would split. They would be 3-3 within the division.
So they lose to the Browns.
Right.
We're going to have the Bears beat the Packers.
They beat the Packers the and the Lions. Beat
the Lions. But then but are lose, we going to have
the 49? No, because they only – I'm only Niners. Giving them two – I'm saying they split, like you said, but the victories are division victories.
Okay, Whoops. And then do you want me to have the Packers win out and the Lions win out? Just for maximum?
Yes.
Okay, so the Packers beat the Broncos and the Lions beat the Rams. Not easy. Then we have the Lions beating the Steelers at home. They can do that. And then obviously the Bears play the Packers in Week 17. Week 17, we have the Lions playing the Vikings. They can win that football game. And
Nine
the
is Packers playing.
At home.
Nine is out there. Nine is out there. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
And then we have the Packers hosting the Ravens. And then week 18, we have the Packers at the Vikings. I got to give some other teams. I think to make this really work, we got to do the Rams as well. So let's give the Rams some wins. Let's give the Eagles some wins. I don't think the NFC South is going to matter. So again, I'm not doing this fully right now. Let's give the Niners a bunch of wins. So I'm having the Niners win out. I'm having – who else did I say? I said the NFC South didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I can't – here's the Eagles. Eagles. Ooh, Rams, Seahawks. Who do you want to win, Rams, Seahawks?
Rams.
The Rams beat the Seahawks. Okay. I think we're almost done. I'm back to week 15. The 49ers will beat the Titans. We have the Eagles beating the Raiders. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. So I didn't do this fully. I didn't do every game. I didn't really get into the Packers and the Bucks of it all. But I suppose if both of those teams get hot, they could enter the scenario. So in our scenario, the Packers win every game except the Bears game. Mm-hmm. The Lions win every game except the Bears game. And the Bears lose to the Browns. And the Bears lose to the 49ers. Chicago Bears will be the number 7 seed.
So then we in, baby. We
and
in,
then they
baby.
Play the Packers at Lambeau Field in the wild card round.
Okay, I get so. Oh. So wait, can you do this?
Yes.
If they win against the Browns, but then they only win against one of the division rivals,
who do you right? want them to beat? The Packers would, or the Lions?
It would have to be the Lions, because then if the Lions sweep them in the division, the Lions have the leg up on them. Then correct? It didn't matter.
Here we have the Bears beating the Browns. Mm-hmm. We have the Bears beating the Lions, but we have the Bears losing to the Niners and losing to the Packers. And again, I did not do the NFC at all. So that might complicate things here. I'm just going to say, okay, Bucks beat the whatever, Bucks beat the Falcons, and Panthers beat the Saints. Who wins between the Bucks and the Panthers?
Right now, well,
at Carolina,
I want to say Carolina, even though Mike Evans is looking like he's going to be back.
All right, Carolina it is. And then I'm going to have the Bucks and the Panthers. Oh no, they play each other twice. So I'm going to have the Bucks and the Panthers split.
Split. Yeah, split them.
Okay. They split and then they win their other games. We have the Bears beating the Lions, but losing to the Packers and losing to the Niners. And beating the Browns?
Yeah.
The Bears are the 7th seed, where they will go to San Francisco again to play the 49ers, and the Green Bay Packers are the 1st seed, and the Lions are the 6th seed.
All right.
So again, like the more you play with it, you can come up with some crazy outcomes. And like I said, there were outcomes I did where I had the Bears 2-2 and they missed. They missed the tournament. So a lot of outcomes still remain, and the Bears need to keep up their really, really good play that they were doing just a few weeks ago.
What's your score for this game with the Browns coming to the city?
I think it's going to be ugly. I think the Bears win. 20-13.
I'll go Bears 21-17. I think there's going to be a turnover to I think the Bears are going to, let me put it like this, because the Bears may give a turnover. I think the Bears will win the turnover battle. So I'll say that one of the scores from the Bears, if not two, will come off of a turnover. And I think that would benefit them, because I think it could get ugly because of the weather and also the amount of pressure that maybe the Browns will be able to do, but also the fact that they're stout against the run. All right, everybody. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, sir.
All right, make sure you tune in after the Bears and Browns game this weekend. We'll be right here on the Windy City Podcast with Fansided, breaking down what took place and what to look forward to as then the Bears and Green Bay go at it again in the city of Chicago. We always appreciate you taking the time to sit here and talk to us. Please be safe, and please, depending on where you're located, particularly up north, please stay warm. We'll see you.
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.